Okay. Now we shall begin the scripture reading from Matthew 9:35 to 10:15. And Jesus went about to all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every infirmity. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harnessed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples, and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal every disease and every infirmity. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon of Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, charging them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and preach as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without pay, give without pay. Take no gold, nor silver, nor copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay with him until you depart. As you enter the house, salute it, and if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town."
All right, I'm going to do something a little different. Since everybody's over here, I'm going to come over here. All right, is this mic on? Very good. I'd like to say happy Father's Day to the fathers out there. I, too, as Annette, miss my father and think of him every day. But I suppose many of you have noticed the plethora of help-wanted signs around town. Looking for a job is rarely fun, but right now there are lots of options out there. It's much more difficult for employers. It's hard to keep a business running efficiently when you're not fully staffed. And if you haven't been aware of these dynamics in our communities, perhaps you've noticed how wait times at businesses have increased. When we wait at the grocery store, when we wait at the bank, when we wait at the restaurant. Better pack your patience nowadays. And these dynamics are amplified in volunteer organizations around our nation and in our neighborhoods. We hear the words at the end of Matthew chapter 9, and we say a hearty amen. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Well, there's an internet service called Indeed that helps to match employees with employers. If only there were an Indeed for volunteer organizations. The closest thing we have to that in Hutchinson is the Volunteer Center, run out of the Hutchinson Community College. We feel the pinch of too few people for too many tasks right here at Community Church. It's felt in many volunteer organizations around our neighborhoods. It's not a matter of where or what there is to do. It's a matter of discerning how we can best help and volunteer to make our communities better places to live in. As followers of Jesus, we have a lot to offer our communities. Good news that the reign of God has come near. Good works that help to heal our neighbors and the community that we all live in. We ask ourselves, how can we be a part of the solution rather than being apathetic or, even worse, an active part of the problem? And that question brings us to the passage at the beginning of Matthew chapter 10. Jesus sends 12 disciples into the ripening fields for the harvest. He calls his disciples by name: Simon and Andrew, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, James and Thaddeus, Simon and Judas. They're listed in pairs. Did you ever notice that? Jesus sent the 12 out in 6 pairs to minister to the community. He was asking his disciples to emulate him. And emulating Jesus is a huge lifestyle change. Well, think about lifestyle changes you would like to make. Maybe you want to eat healthier. It helps to have a friend or a group of friends who are trying to make the same lifestyle change. There's more support and more ideas in a pairing or a group. Or maybe you want to become more active. An exercise partner that you meet at the gym can help bring accountability to your lifestyle change. It might also increase the enjoyment that you get out of the exercise sessions. Well, being an active ministry for Christ in the communities we find ourselves in is no different. The buddy system works well in ministry too. You don't have to go it alone. Find someone to pair up with. You could volunteer in the schools, at the soup kitchen, at interfaith housing. Well, there's so many opportunities right here in Hutchinson. And share what you've experienced and learned in the process to the broader congregation. Invite other people to join the effort. Then two by two can slowly expand to small groups, larger groups, perhaps the entire church. So go two by two. It works on the individual level. I've seen it work many times. It also works on the community level. How? Well, for example, community church can identify another local congregation to work in tandem with. Well, we worked with First Mennonite Church of Hutchinson in the past. That might be a good fit for us. Or we might choose a nearby Church of the Brethren, say Monitor or Newton or Salem or McPherson. I've seen congregational partnering work, too. Now just think of the growth of the Reno County Crop Walk in the past few years. More and more congregations are getting involved. That's something to celebrate. And our congregation had a part in getting that ball rolling again. Or we could stretch ourselves by partnering with a congregation that has a different racial makeup than we do. New paths for ministry could open up for us, and we could grow in faith in Jesus together. But I would suggest that we pursue something with First Mennonite to get started, or another of the brethren churches in our area. And what might that mission be? Well, we need to start that conversation and see where God leads us. Then we could see about establishing connections elsewhere with another congregation. Well, that's going into some deep waters, isn't it? It's far too easy to feel overwhelmed, to feel exhausted just thinking about connecting with our community in new ways. It could feel like adding something extra when we already feel stretched to do just what we've been doing. But our God is able to create a synergy when we are able to be faithful and with the first step or two. Well, what is synergy? It's when the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. We are better together. Yes, we are better when we're hooked into the Holy Spirit, as branches on a vine, using Jesus' imagery from the Gospel of John. And we may feel like we're dull axes. I know sometimes I do. But a dull axe in the hand of a skilled artist can do wonders. And that skilled artist is no other than God. We are dull axes in the hands of God, and God will bring success if we're willing to trust him. That's the gist of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. So go where God's Spirit is leading. I found that when I volunteer as a Jesus follower in my community, that I often receive more than I give. It's a wonderful feeling. That's the dynamic that Jesus talks about in his words to his disciples before sending them out. Jesus said, "Don't feel like you need to provide all the supplies for ministry. You will find supplies wherever you go. Accept help from people and communities that you have come to serve. Peace and well-being will grow from the synergy of a community working together." In other words, don't wait until you're ready, because, face it, we'll never be ready. But we must trust in God. The Holy Spirit of God is already moving in our communities. We'll be amazed at the hospitality that we receive when we get in step with the Holy Spirit of God. Accept that hospitality when we receive it. Move on to other places when that peace and wellness does not return to us. We will eventually find the torrent of the movement of God's Spirit and will be swept off our feet. And hospitality, it's important. It's a gift of the Spirit. We too can find ways to become more hospitable to other people as they come to us, to listen and discover ways that we can lend a hand. Like when we hosted the Dollies earlier this year, how can we find ways to make an impact on their ministry initiatives in Nigeria and here in the United States? Who else can help us think about how we can serve our community in new ways? Oh, what about the Girl Scout troop that's been meeting in our church building? There can be opportunities there. What about our hosting the Family Community Theater? There can be opportunities there as well. Each of those groups have come to our doorstep. What is God calling us to do with these ready-made opportunities? In these ways, and a multitude of others, we could tap into the matchmaking power of the Holy Spirit and find our niche or niches in the community. Yes, the Holy Spirit is the indeed of volunteer lists for faith. So let's plug in 2 by 2. Indeed. Amen.